If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll turn to Daniel chapter 4. The book of Daniel chapter 4. Before we begin, I think of Daniel as a character we're mostly familiar with, and it's one that I go back to many times, the book of Daniel. We can draw many thoughts and messages and blessings from the book of Daniel, and I've preached on it in times past, preached on it pretty recently. But this morning, I have a thought on my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing to us. We're going to start here in Daniel chapter 4. Before we do read, we'll just bow to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we're so thankful for the church here, each one that makes the body of the church up. Lord, we're thankful for each one. I pray that you would just bless throughout the day, Lord. I pray you'd take this message, use it in a way that would be pleasing to you, Lord. I pray that you would help me to be a blessing and never a hindrance. Mm-hmm. Lord, you've heard all these requests this morning. I just pray that you would reach down and bless in your own special way, Lord. You know most of all those that will be lost. We pray for those. Lord, also those that are sick, those that are suffering, Lord. You know each need, spiritually and physically. I just pray that you would help me to stand, help me to give you all the glory this morning. And the praise. Help us through the day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 4. We're going to start here in verse 28. Chapter 4, verse 28. It says, "All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the king of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." And we're going to stop reading here for just a moment this morning. I want us to see this as a testimony of Nebuchadnezzar. This is his story that is recorded of how he was humbled by the Lord. How you think of Daniel and how Daniel was taken into captivity, yet he was still used by God. He was put in the place where he was put by God in order to witness unto the king. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was an ungodly king before Daniel came along and before all this took place. He was a man that relied on his own wit, his own power, his own kingdom, the things he had. He relied on self. He relied on Nebuchadnezzar. What he said goes. He was lifted in pride, great pride. But you know, when Daniel came around, God began to work. God began to work. We see Daniel as maybe a young man, and the other, the Jews, the Hebrews that would come into captivity. God made arrangements for them, didn't He?
Yes.
God made arrangements for them to be in the king's life. Not just in the king's life that he would come across and see him on a daily basis, just come into contact with them randomly every now and then, but God used them in a mighty way. God used Daniel in a way that many would say, Lord, I don't want to do that. Lord, that seems a little too extreme. Lord, that's something that I don't feel comfortable doing. But God arranged for Daniel to have a great impact. God makes arrangements for the lost sinners this morning. God makes arrangements for people to hear the gospel, for people to get witness to. God provides, God prepares opportunities for each and every person. God made arrangements for me. He prepared a time for me. He prepared a time for me to hear the Word of God being preached by my daddy whenever I was 9 years old at Clear Branch Baptist Church. And I've told my testimony to y'all many times. I'm not going to go into detail with this morning, but there was a time that God set aside, that He set up, that He arranged for me to have the ear to listen, for me to be convicted by the Holy Ghost. I had heard the message of the gospel preached before, Brother Jack. I had heard it preached before many times. But that morning, that Sunday morning or Sunday evening, I can't remember if it was a.m. or p.m., but I remember being there, and I felt that it was to me. I knew that it was my time. I knew that God had arranged for me that day.
Yes.
Ain't that a wonderful thing?
Come on.
And He makes arrangements for each and every other person in the history of time. Even the ungodly king Nebuchadnezzar. Even those that maybe are not as favored in the eyes of God. God is merciful. You know, I think of just an example here that comes to my mind. When I was in, I believe, the third or fourth grade, my mom could probably tell you a little better, but I had this teacher. Her name was Miss Reddy. I always thought that was a neat name, but she was a blessing to me. But you know, after I trusted the Lord and got saved, in my young little mind, you know, my curious mind, my little mind that maybe tried to figure some things out and was confused by the devil, you know, I got confused for a little while. And I remember that God put that teacher in my life. You know, I could have had any other homeroom teacher that grade, that year, when I was in the third or fourth grade. I could have had any other teacher. I could have went to any other school. You know, it wasn't a year or two after that my parents decided to pull us out of school and homeschool us. You know, they could have decided just as well then to pull us out then. But you know, I was in that lady's class for a reason. She was my teacher for a reason. She was Missionary Baptist. She grew up knowing some of my family members. But you know, I remember that God made arrangements for that lady to be a blessing to me.
Yes.
God made arrangements for my teacher to be there for me, to help me, to show me what the Scripture says. I remember even, you know, I'd be there in class, maybe coloring my little coloring sheets or doing whatever we did in third grade. I don't even remember. But and I remember I'd get upset all over again. I remember, you know, I'd start getting confused all over again. I'd get upset. I even cried. I remember crying a couple times in her class. And I'd go up to her, and she'd talk to me. She'd take me out of class. I was thankful for that teacher. I was thankful for people who were there for me throughout my younger days, especially. God made arrangements for them. We see here where King Nebuchadnezzar, he was humbled by God. Daniel was used by the Lord just like He can use anybody at any given time that is willing, that is submissive, that is ready to go. He makes a way for us to be a blessing. Daniel was used by God to show the king the power of the one true God. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had all these false gods, this false religion, this false worshiping that they did in Babylon. And no doubt, Daniel showed him who our God was, who the one true God was. Was it a journey? Absolutely. Nebuchadnezzar, he had to face some stuff, didn't he? I want us to see this morning the importance of submitting to the arrangements. The importance of being able to go to the world and show them who God is. But because you know what? One day it'll be too late to show them who God is.
Yes.
One day it'll be too late. We'll have waited too late to use that opportunity given for us to show that lost person in our family, that lost friend, that lost co-worker,
yep,
who God is. And God will show them who He is one day. And that's the day, you think of Judgment Day, that's coming one day. It'll be too late. They'll know who God is then, won't they? But it'll be too late. So it is important for us to go to the world and show them who He is, who Jesus Christ is, what He has come or what He came to do and what He is still doing today. You know, some folks need to see firsthand who God is.
Yeah, yep.
They need to see it firsthand. Nebuchadnezzar needed to see it firsthand, didn't he?
Yes.
Who, I look at him maybe as a little more stubborn-minded than some of the characters in the Bible, but he had to see some things firsthand, didn't he? He went through, I believe it was 7 years of his mind being taken from him and being drove out into the field and eating grass like a beast and his nails growing long and his hair becoming like eagle's feathers. It took all that. He needed to see firsthand. He needed to see some things firsthand. There's so many out there who refuse to open their eyes. There's so many who refuse to worship and even recognize God.
Yep.
Maybe they say, I believe God exists, but I that's not for me. You know, there's folks that even claim there is no God. Psalms chapter 14, verse 1 said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works." The fool has said in his heart. I believe it really takes somebody just wanting to make God not exist for them to say God does not exist. You just look around. You look at how God has created even the heavens and the earth. All the creation that we see on a daily basis, it's hard to say. It's hard to look around in this world and say, what God? It's impossible for me. Ever since I was a little child, you know, I think of the times going fishing, going hunting. Me and my little brother, Daddy was showing me a picture last night, I believe. He had a picture of me and my little brother walking off in the woods with shotguns. Ain't that a blessing? That's something you don't see anymore. Walking off into the woods to enjoy God's creation, we went squirrel hunting. God gave us dominion over the animals of this world, on this earth. God allowed for things like that for a little boy to experience. And as a little boy, I did experience those things. As a little boy, I knew there was a God. I believe there was a God. I believe it's impossible to truly say, there's no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It takes somebody just flat out not looking, in my opinion. But it's sad to say there's many out there who do deny the Lord. You think of Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, the next one in line. You would think, you know, maybe, oh, I don't know if it was a fathering, a parenting issue or problem on Nebuchadnezzar's behalf or just a stubborn child that wouldn't listen on Belshazzar's behalf, but you would think everything that Nebuchadnezzar went through, it would get passed on, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Son, let me tell you what God showed me. Let me tell you how God showed me who He is. Let me tell you about Daniel. Let me tell you what I faced. Let me tell you what I went through. The years that I went through suffering and I lost my kingdom. I lost my position as king. I lost all these things. Let me tell you about that. Let me witness to you, son. Maybe it was that stubborn teenager. Daddy, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear this. I got better things to do. I don't know what the case was, but he was the next in line. And if you go on and read further in the book of Daniel, you'll see where Belshazzar was slain, was stripped. There's so many in this world that deny the Lord that same way. They get in a place where it just don't seem like they can be humbled. It just don't seem like they can open their eyes. But you know, there's so many in this world that still need to be won. That's why it's important for us,
yes,
to submit to those preparations, those opportunities that God puts in our lives, that God puts in other lives. You know, it was mentioned at the ordination, Brother Alton, you'll probably remember this yesterday. I think Daddy mentioned it actually. He said how Brother Clyde Cooper used to say, some of the only Bible some folks will ever see is you, your life. That's some of the only Bible that some folks will ever read is what they see in your life. That's true. There's many people out there their families, you know, they grew up in families that didn't bring them to church. Families, you know, maybe that were into drugs, abusive homes. You know, maybe just moms and dads that weren't there, maybe put in foster care. Just felt left out. I won't ever completely understand why certain kids had to grow up that way. I'm thankful I didn't. But you know, you might be the only opportunity that they have one day to see God. Could you imagine? Lord, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like being a blessing today. I'm walking in Walmart, I just want to get my groceries and get out. But you know, maybe there's that one person that, you know, I always seem like I almost run into somebody with my buggy in Walmart just about every time. People are zooming through there, ain't they? Trying to get in line, get checked out, and go, I've become that way too. Would it hurt to talk to somebody? Would it hurt to maybe slow down? And notice that, you know, Walmart is full of opportunities, ain't it? Of course, the Lord needs to lead in those opportunities, but you may be the only opportunity that somebody has. So we need to be looking. We need to be looking. I know we can't open a door that God has shut. I don't mean we can't stand there and knock on it. I don't mean we can't wait in the hallway. That's Mama has a sign in our house hanging up. I might have told y'all this before, but it says, until God opens a door, I'm going to wait in the hallway. That's where we need to be, church. We need to be in a place where we're ready to jump in that door as soon as God opens it. To be used, to be put in those arrangements made by God so we can win souls. Let's get back to Daniel here and Nebuchadnezzar. The testimony given in Daniel chapter 4, that's one of my favorite stories in Scriptures, because he completely turned his way of thinking around. He completely was convicted and he realized who God was. And he told his testimony. But you know, he was shown mercy by God. He was shown mercy. But how was he shown mercy? Well, he lost his kingdom. He lost his mind. He lost respect. He lost the throne even. It was restored to him. But you know, it was also taken for his own good, wasn't it? That was mercy. That stuff needed to be taken away in order for him to be humbled, to be shown. That was mercy. How did God show mercy? He sent Daniel. He sent His beloved children, Daniel and the others that would go in into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon who took them captive. That alone is showing mercy. God showed mercy on him in so many ways. But most of all, he was given another chance. He was given a chance to turn to the faith, to recognize God, to become a believer. How? Because God was able to use Daniel. God was able to make that preparation, that arrangement. God has some arrangements for you to be in someone's life this morning. Family, friends, co-workers, even people in Walmart. Do I stop and talk to people in Walmart like I should? Absolutely not. Most of the time, you know, especially around Christmas time and stuff, people are pretty brutal in Walmart. I don't even like going to Hattiesburg anymore to go shopping. I'm getting more and more of a homebody, I guess you could say. I don't like being around certain groups of people. And, you know, I've told that to Daddy before, and he told me, well, son, you're a preacher. You got to like people. I'm growing, and I ask that y'all would pray for me. But God has made arrangements for you. Some unbeliever's life. What if Daniel had decided back in... Turn to Daniel chapter 1. I want us to go read this real quick. Daniel chapter 1. Just flip back a couple chapters. Daniel chapter 1 verse 12. Says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to drink and water to drink. Also, verse 8, he says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. What if Daniel, what if his decision here in Scripture, what if it was different? Whenever he was approached with this, what if Daniel said, it's not that big of a deal. What's a little portion of the king's meat going, you know, I'm pretty hungry. What's that going to hurt? That's not that big of a deal. I'd much rather have that than some of that pulse and water. What's a little portion of the king's meat going to hurt? What would it hurt if I, you know, maybe just bended the rules a little bit with God? God was preparing Daniel to have an impact on the king's life, and certainly the life of many others. Because of how Daniel was faithful to God, because of how Daniel was true to what he believed, I will not defile myself. I will not. Because he was faithful in that strange land, Daniel was able to reach the non-believing, the ungodly, undeserving King Nebuchadnezzar. Because he was faithful. Because he was a good servant. Because he was willing to be arranged how God wanted him to. He was able to be placed right where God needed him to be. Because of that, Nebuchadnezzar, even though he faced some rough times, he was still won over, wasn't he? In the end, he said, the Lord, you know, the prideful he is able to abase. In the end, he realized, he humbled me. Lord, I believe in you. He praised the name of the Lord. He recognized who God was. He was won over. Let me ask you this question. What if God has made arrangements for you to come into someone's life and maybe you said, it's not that big of a deal? When folks are watching it, it's one little drink. It's one little smoke. It's one little cuss word because Maybe I stubbed my toe. It could be, you might think I'm being silly this morning. It could be something that simple. It's not that big of a deal. What if you just decide to just skip out on an open opportunity that God has given you? Not today, Lord. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 3. This is where we're going to end. Ezekiel chapter 3. We'll close with this. Verse 18. Ezekiel 3 verse 18 says, "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." That almost make the hair on the back of your neck stand up, won't it? We could be at fault. We could be at fault if God opens the door for you to be a witness. If you have a chance to show someone who God is, what Jesus Christ has done, and you refuse, maybe you kind of cower down. Lord, I don't really want to. I'm not comfortable with that. Lord, it's not really that big of a deal. There'll be other opportunities. The Bible says that the same wicked man, if that man dies in that condition, and maybe that was the only opportunity he had, and you said, "No, thank you. I'd rather not." His blood will I require at thine hand, is what the Scripture says. We can be at fault. We are responsible. Let me leave you with this. We are responsible for winning souls, aren't we?
Yes.
That's what we're here to do. We are responsible to go out to the world and spread the gospel, to try to win souls to the Lord. That's our job, and we're responsible for it. But you know, we're also responsible for losing souls as well. That's something that we should be mindful of. That's something that we should realize. We can lose souls. We can lose the respect even from some person. I've got a bunch of people, a bunch of youngins in my life now that look up to me. They look to me as you know, somebody they don't have in their life even. What if I do something that I think is not that big of a deal? Or what if I refuse, Lord, I don't want to try to be a blessing today. I've got other things going on. And I don't submit to that arrangement, that preparation He has made. I could lose them forever. Could lose them forever. We need to be aware of this. We need to be knocking at the doors of opportunity. We need to be willing to be used by the Lord. This will be the message this morning.